This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good day. Wow. However, whatever time this is, wherever you are, greetings. This is episode number 69 with Adam Sowerine. I don't know. I can't say his last name at all, but Mr. Adam X on Instagram, on the social media, on facebook.com/Mr. Adam X, all of those things. Adam is a photographer, a traveler, a van life guy. He is a telemark skier, regular skier, the whole shebang. He's an awesome dude. We had a great conversation. I had a great time talking to him. And it was a great episode, I think. And I think it was a fitting episode for episode 69. Before we get into the episode, just a couple of small things. I appreciate everybody leaving reviews on iTunes if you can. If you haven't yet, please go ahead and do so. It helps the show a bunch. Definitely bumps us up a bit, and I'd love to see the feedback. Additionally, make sure you're following us, and in this case, Mr. Adam X on Instagram, just at Out of Podcast, at Mr. Adam X. That's the handles, as they call them. I'm losing my voice here, so we'll make this quick. This episode is sponsored by Sowatch Hemp. Sowatch is a CBD company out of the Sowatch region in Colorado. They make awesome, awesome product. I mean, in a time when CBD is so prevalent and so much of the stuff is garbage, it's really nice to have some stuff that really, really works. They make everything from CBD for your pet to CBD soft gels to salves to the whole nine. I mean, they make everything. And the stuff is really, really awesome. And you can save 15% on your purchase using promo code OUTOFBOUNDS. At Sowatch, www.sowatch.co. They make awesome stuff. Like I said, salves are my favorite. I actually am really, really into the soft gels lately. The stuff really works. So definitely check it out. Helps swelling, helps with pain, helps with, like, I mean, it's funny how you talk to some people and they're like, CBD just, it helps with everything. And I mean, it's just like, it does make a difference for sure. For me, it brought down the swelling in my knees and recently in my shoulder. I've been crashing a lot lately, so it's been huge for me. So check out that stuff. Be sure to follow them on Instagram. It's at Sowatch_hemp. And yeah, use promo code OUTOFBOUNDS to save 15% if you decide to purchase some. Yeah, I guess without further ado, here's episode 69 with Mr. Adam X. Enjoy, guys. So what's going on, dude? What's up? Who are you? I like cold start everybody, and every time I feel like I should give you a better intro, but I think that's kind of your job, so...
I'm not sure on that. Who am I? I'm Adam Sowerine, Mr. Adam X on Instagram. I don't really know how to define this. I was thinking about it on my drive here. I think I'm just a skier.
Yeah.
I was going to say a pramature skier,
yeah,
like a pro amateur, but I'm not pro nor am I amateur. I'm a 33-year-old blown out telemark skier with a, you know, I don't know. I'm just a skier and a van life man and a photographer is what I do for a real living. And I don't know how to define who I am. And that's what I think brought me to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Is the van life. And, you know, some people might know me from The Pursuit. It was a web series we had. Corey Potter and I just had this idea to make a web series about van life. And it was like 5 years ago, kind of prior to, like, you know, a van life web series doesn't seem that bizarre anymore.
It's super normal now. Yeah.
But we had this idea. I had bought a school bus and it was like, let's just make a little, you know, web series about it. And we put it out and it went viral. Like,
really?
Free Skier picked it up, TGR, Chicago News, ABC News. Fuck. Like, just overnight, I was just like an inspiration to everyone. Because it was just like, feel good and do what you love and follow your life.
Yeah, I watched the first one a little while ago. Yeah. Like, it was the first time I saw it. And it's very much like that, though, right? Like, it's like, quit your day job if you don't like it and go do what you want to do.
But the biggest thing to me was, one, I became like an overnight, but like, I always ski to Killington and Holiday Valley and Kissing, you know, I've been all over the place and I've never been like looked at as an inspirational figure and like a thing of hope. And then people were like in my DMs and like, quit my job. And I'm like, whoa, don't just quit your job. But it also seemed so crazy to me that like people don't do that. Like, what a crazy concept to enjoy life.
Yeah. Yeah, it is weird, right? Like everybody just kind of does their job. They accept that it sucks and it's work, you know?
And I think I found myself doing that in the job I was in. And then I was like, no. And then I quit and then I just did it. And then Corey and I just put together this thing for like fun.
Yeah.
And then it took off and I became like this bizarre on a really small scale symbol of hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, oh God, I'm just like, Jesus, take the wheel, dude.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're like, that's got to be a weird thing. Like whenever people ask me for advice about how to do things or like how to start something, I'm just like, I'm not qualified to answer that. Like I'm so fucked up in so many different ways all the time. Like, do you feel the same way for that?
100%. But I've also figured out that like everyone's lying.
Yeah. All the
and
time.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Like your heroes are either dead or lying and that's cool.
Yeah.
But you have people, everyone is someone who's looking up to them and it's, you just kind of own it and you elaborate a little more and you exaggerate and like, maybe that's wrong, but it's not if it helps somebody. Like there's therapists who are super, like they're train wrecks.
Yeah.
And they're telling people how to live their lives.
Yeah.
And that's what those people need to hear. So I think that's okay.
I think it's okay too. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, everybody lies about everything all the time. And it only becomes a problem if you're lying about things that matter and you're lying about things that aren't like authentic, you know?
Right.
Like, if you're who you are, then it should be pretty simple.
Yeah, like I mean I don't think I'm lying, but people are like, I think I'm gonna quit my job and do this, and I'm like, you gotta do what you gotta do. And if you watching my web series, or, you know, I hate saying my web series, Corey Potter and I's web series, then like, then do it and quit. Yeah. And but if you're gonna quit, you gotta do something. Like I always made a big deal out of I don't have a trust fund.
Yeah.
Like people are like, I wish I could do that. And I'm like,
you can't
be borderline homeless and drive around in a van. Like
yeah.
My payment's $300 a month. Pretty much anyone can afford that.
Yeah.
And like, you know, some weeks I don't shower and like some weeks I eat ramen and some weeks I eat steak. But like, you could do that if you really wanted to.
That's the thing is people like to say that like, oh, I wish I could do this. I wish I had time. I wish like, that's always the big one too, is I wish I had time to live like that or like do these things. And it's like, everybody has time. You just got to like move things around and be more efficient. Like you don't need to watch a shit ton of TV. You could just like go do something, you know?
Yeah. It's just, I think it's the world we live in. Everyone thinks it's going to happen now.
Yeah.
Like my first winter in my bus, I bought a bus. Quick backstory,
we should probably do that part first before we get into like.
Yeah, I mean, there was no real like true life backstory. It was like I worked a 9-to-5 and I didn't love it. I worked for an environmental company, great people. It was just like, oh, I'm gonna work. I graduated college and work for this environmental company, and like I'm gonna be like helping. I was on like the right side of the environmental things, and we were doing this. I was part of a construction cleanup, and we were doing. There was radioactive slag buried in the ground. And I was monitoring that. So it's like
thrilling.
Yeah. I mean, it's boring, but it's like, I'm helping people and we're getting it out of the ground and disposing of it properly. But then as you dig deeper, like not to get into it, it's just like, who's paying who to say what? Yeah. And that's no offense to anybody I worked with or like, but you know, like some of the union guys are just, they just want to work. And they think that's the answer. I'm like, you're going to get hurt. Or like, this is like, I'm not telling you it's dangerous for fun.
Yeah.
Like if I'm saying it's dangerous, get out of there. But vice versa. Like if I'm saying it's clean, you should go to work. But so it just got a little sloppy as like small government politics with radioactive cleanup can go.
Yeah.
'Cause you put that label on it and it gets crazy. But so I quit my job. I was doing that. And then I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was shooting weddings on the side. And then, so I just quit my job and just started taking pictures. And then I started shooting weddings and that became my ultimate career. But the bus came into play as like, all my friends are like, what are you gonna do? I was like, I'm gonna just buy a bus and drive around. Hmm. I'm like, what do you mean you're gonna buy a bus and drive around? I'm like, I really just need to be in town on like Fridays and Saturdays for weddings. and like the occasional like headshots or photo shoots. Like I schedule those. So I don't have to be anywhere. So I bought a bus for $1,000.
Yeah.
And was just like, this'll work.
$1,000.
And like I spray painted it black and I like put curtains up and insulated it and was like tested it like now in August, September, and was like, that thing's, I'm gonna be sweating in there, like with a little heater. And like winter comes on the East Coast and it's like every morning my bottles are frozen solid.
Yeah.
And like I'm defrosting like a block of ice to make
coffee.
But that was like a turning point and it was like an epiphany. Like you can do this and you want to do this. So like I skied every day and I lived in a sleeping bag. Like if I wasn't skiing, I was in my bag because it was so cold and I didn't have real heat.
Yeah.
So I did that and then the summer came and the bus was just rotted. So I just scrapped it.
Yeah.
And I was like, dream's over. Great.
Yeah.
Look for a job.
Yeah.
And then I was, and then I, of course, Craigslist got me.
Yeah.
And I like bought another bus for $1,000 and then like actually did it and built it, put a wood burning stove in it. And it just became like this thing that was part of me that I never planned on.
Mm.
And that was kind of it. Then the bus just drove around and I went skiing every day. And that's when like touring was getting hot and I was getting like really into ski touring.
Right.
And then I pitched it to Ski Vermont and they took care of me. And so I free skiing in all of Vermont.
Yeah.
So it was like, became like a spokesman for them and a minor, you know, Ski the East hopped right on that. Rooster and Chris just like, dude, whatever you need.
They're good
like,
at that.
They're my favorite humans on the planet.
They're so good. Cause
they're everyone's inner 13-year-old child who just followed through on stuff.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you hear their stories about like doing the chick chocks and like, they don't know what they're doing. They weren't professionals. They're still not professionals, but they're the nicest, greatest businessmen I've ever met. And they live their brand more than anyone I could ever.
Yeah. That's one of the things that comes across with them, I think, is that you feel, and that's one of the reasons that I think their brand has done so well is because it's authentic. Like it's real.
It's so 100% them. It's frustrating.
Yeah. Right.
Like you go and visit them and they're just like kooks and there's like cookies in there and there's like, I'm just like, what is happening? There's dogs running
around.
Yeah,
right.
Like, that's them.
This is a business. Yeah.
But yeah, so then I like started getting some sponsors and I was like, I'm not a pro skier. I'm not even like a decent skier. Right. I mean, I am. I'm a skier, but like, I'm not like, I am 2003 park skier for days on Telemark skis. So that makes me cool.
Yeah. Now you're cool as shit. Like if that's what you're doing.
Right. But like, I went to Corinthia this year and like threw like my best tricks, which are like literally like, it'd be a decent edit for 03, 04.
Yeah.
Like maybe a front swap, maybe a blind two. Like I got very minimal tricks, like a sloppy seven. But I'm on Telemark, so people are like, this guy's amazing.
Yeah.
Right. Like, no, I'm not. I'm terrible. But so I got some sponsors, and then, you know, with the photo thing, that helped. Like, anyone can look great in a photo. Like,
yeah.
So I like just picked up some sponsors, and I've kind of carried that through. And I don't really know how I got here, but this is where I'm at.
Yeah, and this is what you're doing now.
This is what I'm doing.
So I still don't get it. Like, how do you come up with the idea to live in a van? Like, what sparked that idea? I know you said you don't have to be anywhere, but, like, why a van? Like, I don't have to be anywhere really either, but I don't want to go live in a van. So what made you want to do that?
The short answer is just freedom.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I want to ski all winter.
Yeah.
And at this time, it was in Vermont. And it was like, I'm not going to move there because I'm a wuss. That's the reason people don't leave because they're afraid.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to move. Like, I'm going to die in Buffalo, New York, where I live. Like, that is my home. I don't have an apartment, but like someday I'll have an apartment or a house and I'll die in Buffalo. And I'm cool with that. But like, I'm not going to rent one in Vermont.
Yeah.
So I was like, how can I ski in Vermont every day of the winter, but then like be able to move wherever I want?
Hmm.
And the bus just like presented itself.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that works. Why not? And then from the bus evolved the van. And that was just pure. I think it's just like people moving from an apartment to a house.
Yeah.
I was like, you're 33, dude. You should buy a van. Like, you can't, you're not a kid anymore. You can't be in a school bus.
Yeah. You should go to a van.
So now I have a van. And that's like, it's sad, but it's true. And that's
Fan's pretty sick too. It's pretty trick. I mean, it's not like huge, but it's pretty trick, man. I mean,
it's all I need.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it, and that's, people are like, I don't know how you do it. Like, think about how much space you actually use in your house.
Yeah.
Like, you sit in like probably the same chair or same spot in the couch every day. You walk into your kitchen, you make a mess. You leave your dishes there because you don't care because you have the room.
Yeah.
And then you go to bed.
Yeah.
And that's it. So, like, the van's the same thing, but like when I'm done cooking, I clean immediately because I need that space for my laptop.
Yeah.
Or I need, you know, like I need, you know, where I had all my clothes thrown on the bed, I need that bed to sleep in or that chair to sleep on. So like, or to sit on. So it's just a cleaner lifestyle.
Yeah.
For me, like I don't have the opportunity to just throw things and be a mess. I have to be organized.
Huh. I guess that makes sense. Like it, you're right though. Like I do it all the time. Like I basically like, I don't clean because I don't need to clean. Like there's a room full of just shit half the time that I like could totally use for something more productive, but don't, because it's like,
it doesn't matter.
All this extra space. It's like, even in here, I'm sure we could make things more efficient and whatever, whatever, but it's like you waste so much space. So I guess it's true. If you just,
it is. And I'm not like, it sucks because everyone's doing it now. Like, I went out, I drove out west for the first time.
I was
going to
ask
you
how you felt about that.
And, like, they're all just posers. Like, they're all, yeah. And I'm a poser too, and that's fine. We're all posers in our own way. But, like, their dads bought them a van because they, like, if he said if I graduated Berkeley, he'd let me travel in a van for a year.
Yeah.
And, like, and not everyone. But then there's just your pure, for lack of a better term, like, dirt bags.
Mm-hmm.
And I love those dudes too. But, like, can't you just be like a normal functioning human that sleeps in a van?
Yeah. Yeah, they do always take it a little far, it seems like.
It's either one or the other. Like,
yeah, it's either super clean, tricked out, and their parents paid for it, or they're super gross and they portray that super gross lifestyle.
Yeah, like there's plenty of times where I like stink and I have to be somewhere I shouldn't, but like,
yeah.
You can change that.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
You can try. Like, I don't know. I just don't. I guess I don't love, like, the dirtbag slot.
Yeah.
But I also don't love, like, the, I'm a rich kid who can just, like, drive across the country all the time. And there's plenty of people who are, like, hustling and, like, working out of their vans and, like.
Yeah.
But it just seems like that you're either a dirtbag or you're a rich kid.
And I'm sure there's plenty of people that are rich kids that actually work really hard, too. You know, like, there's those anomalies, too. Where,
for sure. But it just seems like what we see on the face is, like, you're either just a dirtbag.
Yeah.
Like, when I was in the bus, I was a dirtbag.
Yeah, right.
But that was just the category I was in. I was the same person, but it was like, oh, you got this beat-up school bus.
Yeah, you can't, like, exactly be, like, a neat, tiny, you're a dirt clean bag. Person like, in a...
And now I have the van, and now they're like, oh, what do your parents do? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
yeah.
My dad's worked at a flour mill. Like, yeah. He worked for Pillsbury. Like, making flour, not like corporate Pillsbury.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He worked in a factory. So it's, you know, why I'm in a van or what, I think it was just freedom. And I think it just kind of, like, evolved. And now I'm like, I could do something else, but why?
Yeah. It's probably part of you at this point too, right? Like, it's just,
it just feels right.
Yeah.
And I think I'll do it till it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And then I'll be done.
Yeah. That's actually kind of the way I feel about doing this podcast. Like, everybody has a fucking podcast now. And, like, even when I started it, like, we started 2 years ago now, it's not like I started, like, early, but it's like, I did it because I felt like there wasn't a lot of people in this outdoor industry space. And now there's a million of them. So I'm like, I figure I'm just going to keep doing it until I don't want to do it anymore.
But I think that's okay.
Right, yeah. I mean, what else are you going to do?
If you kept doing it and you hated it, that's on you. Like, that's your responsibility to stop, because it wouldn't be genuine anymore. Like, I think you're
right.
Still doing this because you enjoy it and you enjoy the conversations.
Right.
And, like,
I enjoy meeting the people, right?
Right. But hopefully that doesn't change.
Right.
But also, if it does, I hope you
stop.
You evolve. You change
yeah.
that as well. Like, I always, so I'm straight edge. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I hate the label straight edge.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was like 19, my buddy broke edge.
Yeah.
And I was like mad. Like, this is
really
this is our lot. Not mad, but I was like, this is our life, dude. And it's like, and then one of like my older I mean, he was probably 30 at the time, but like straight edge friends would be like, it'd be worse for him to live the lie.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of thought about that, not to make it about like drugs. I don't care who drinks or smoke, like good right, for right. you, like have at her.
Do your thing.
But like, it's not for me. And I knew that. But like when my older, I don't like saying mentor, but mentor was like, he's still the same person. He's just being truthful to himself.
Right.
And I think that goes with anything, whether it be the van life or a podcast or, you know, someone in marketing who ran their course and is like, I need change because I'm over it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and that's one of the things that like with this whole social media thing where everybody's on it all the time, then they put out the most, like the prettiest versions of themselves. Like it's becoming harder and harder for people, I think, to just do what they actually want to do. And it's really strange, man. And a lot of times you see these people where it's like, it doesn't even seem natural for you to be doing what you're doing. Like, it doesn't seem like it fits. But I don't know. Dude, I don't know. It's a weird fucking thing.
It's become like work.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, keeping up with a persona.
It's just bizarre. And even I have to, like, do it. Like, I have to. Yeah, I mean, I don't. But, like, people. Like, if I just post, like, wedding photos every day, I'm gonna lose followers. So like I have to be like, I'm adventurous and I have this dumb haircut and like check out my Crocs and like here's my van and like that's my image, but that's who I am deep down. But like I also have another Instagram handle that's all just weddings.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we all do it and it's part of it, but like, you know, if you had obsession with like ferns, you wouldn't like, you're not just gonna use your podcast handle to like post ferns every day, or you're a bird watcher and you just start like
I mean, I might be into birds, but I guess it's not the right platform for it, you know. So like that part's weird too, but I don't know, this whole thing is fucking weird to me. Like I never wanted to do the social side of it. Like I'm not a very social person. I don't really like people that much in general. The people that I like a lot, and the people that at like pretty much everybody else I'm just like whatever, like, you know, like you're just here, you're existing, you don't bother me, but I don't want to be bothered by you either, you know. So it's weird that now like you have to like kind of keep, because you do, you have to keep up with an image to a certain extent, I think, and I do it too, and like I talk about it, but you're like, I pretend to be like more outgoing, more like I'm on social media every day, and you have to be like, but it's part of the job kind of. But I guess you don't have to be. You could choose to not, but then it's going to reflect.
It affects your brand.
Yeah, for sure. So
I think that was the hardest thing for me, is realizing that I became a brand.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I mean, there are bad brands, so maybe I'm a bad brand. Yeah. But like my name became like a brand.
Yeah,
like
you are your brand.
Mr. Edamax became the pursuit, became like this whatever, whenever mentality. Which was like this symbol, like small scale, but like symbol of hope. And it was like, I was way more of an extrovert, I think.
Yeah.
Before it all happened.
Really?
And then people wanted to talk to me and I was like, whoa. Leave me the fuck alone. I'm just trying to get a sandwich, dude. Like I'm at the Fat, like getting a sandwich and it's powder day. Like, I'm going skiing. Like,
so do people come up to you and like call you by your Instagram handle?
Not so much anymore.
They were before.
But though. Like... there was a hot seat, and like your friends are your friends, so they're like, ooh, and you're it happened semi-recently at a trivia night, and like, and it was great. We had a great conversation, but like, I don't want to say too much because I know his circle of friends will probably listen to this.
Yeah.
It was like awesome to meet him, and it was like great, and he's a great skier, and he's got a great ski crew, but they all like knew who I was, and I'm like, people forget that you don't know who they are.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not famous and I couldn't imagine, but people go up to like Will Ferrell and they're like, you're Will Ferrell. And he's like,
I am Will Ferrell.
I am Will Ferrell. But like, instead of being like, oh my God, Will Ferrell, I'm Adam, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
Or like, I love, like people just talk to you, like, you know that they know who you are.
Yeah.
And you're like, do you know who I am? Not in a tough way, but like, is that why you're talking to me? Or are you just randomly talking to me?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh dude, I love your bus. And then it's like a trigger. Like, oh, this guy knows my story.
Yeah.
What is your story? tell me your story.
It's no longer a conversation. It's like somebody verbally like attacking you with like, even if it's good, like it's your
great.
Yeah.
But again, like I'm not trying to say I'm cool or like fame, but
no,
like,
no. But I get it too. Like, because like with this, like it's long form. So people feel like they know you. So like I'll get people that come up and are just like, hey, you're the podcast guy. Oh my God. So I'm just like, yeah, but like, what are we talking about here? You know, like, how do I continue this conversation?
I was at a Blink-182 concert and my buddy's a marketing guy for a radio station. So I get to meet them.
Yeah.
The security guard, like big jacked Blink-182 security guard, like traveling security guard, not like the local security team. There's a huge line and they're like keeping everyone in control. He's like, Mr. Adam X. Oh, dude, I've seen your series. Like, this is like Travis Barker and like dudes, like security. And my buddies are like, what is it? Like, even Blink-182 like looked at me like there's a giant line for them and their security guard calls me out. Yeah. And I'm like, what is that? Which was like the coolest that like.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I made it. I'm cool. Like, yeah, Blink-182 security guard knows who I am. But like made a scene and I'm like, what is happening? Yeah. Like I'm some, you know, shitty hipster with a tank top on that I made with my brand.
Yeah.
Like, cool, dude, you made your own shirts.
Yeah, you're wearing your own stuff.
Like, but, you know, I had shirts and people bought them and it was like, it was this really cool thing and it slowed down a little bit, but it's just because we stopped making the web series because I'm sure it's just like the podcast. Like,
yeah,
it costs money.
Sure does.
And like, yeah, sponsors will give me free stuff, but like, hey, can you get it from my filmer?
Yeah.
Why are we going to give him a jacket?
Yeah.
Like, well, because he made it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, he produced it.
He's actually the hero here. I'm just like the dumb idiot talking.
Yeah. Oh, no, dude. I feel like that every day. Like it's like I record this and stuff, but like I send it to Ethan and I'm like, dude, help me out. Like, you know, and all he does is just like, yeah, sure. Like, whatever. And then like, I mean, I hook him up as best I can, as much as I can, you know, but it's not like I'm getting rich off a podcast and I'm sure you weren't getting rich off.
I didn't make any money. And like, I've kept some sponsors. Like I'm still with Lakey Ski Poles.
Yeah.
Fly Low Gear.
Yeah.
I'm a Lifeproof ambassador, which is slowly turning into OtterBox.
Yeah. Are they really? What's the...
They're the same company.
I didn't even know
they're
that.
They're the same exact company. They kind of compete with each other, but the same company. But OtterBox makes some like epic dry bags and stuff.
Yeah, so right.
I've been working with them a little bit more. And Lifeproof's really been supportive of me.
Yeah.
And then Smith Optics I've been with for like 10 years.
That's awesome.
And like, I'm not getting paid. Like, they send me a pair of goggles and I'm a kid in a candy shop. Like,
right.
This is amazing. And like Philo sends me a kit and Lakey gives me poles and gloves. And like, that's all I can ask for.
Yeah.
And it's been in like an amazing little journey, but it's always been like this fine line of like, you know, are you a brand? Are you a skier? Are you just some dude hanging on to a dream? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I just love skiing.
Yeah.
And I would be doing it if I had jeans on.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So it's been really fun to be able to like share it and talk about it and do it.
Have you thought about rebooting the video series or even a video series, even if it's not the same one?
I would 100% do it.
Yeah.
It would be, it's entirely up to Corey.
Okay.
Or having someone to film it. I can't do it on my own. And I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also Corey's baby, so I don't know if he would want someone else to film it.
Yeah,
but
right.
I can't pay Corey, and Corey knows that. And he's got a house and a wife soon.
Yeah.
And, you know, like...
He's got a life.
Yeah, and he makes a lot of money filming for a living. So it's like, hey, dude, I know you just got back from Switzerland shooting with Red Bull, but, like, you want to film me in a chair doing an interview in front of a band?
Yeah.
Like, so that... Because filming's not easy. Like a 3-minute clip takes 5 days.
Yeah.
And like Corey's a professional. Like I would just do GoPros and like throw it together, but Corey won't let me.
Yeah.
So like, you know, but I would love to do it. And Corey knows that. I just left his house.
Really?
Yeah. Like he knows. Wow. Like I would love to do it. But I think if I did it, I'd want him to be a character.
Yeah.
I'd want him to be. And I've always pressed for that. But like, you need to be in this. So that, and then when it comes into like, you know, get me a pair of goggles for Corey. Like,
oh, I'm sure sponsors would be willing to do that.
They will. But it's more than that. You know, we're old and it's work.
Time and it's work. Yeah, it's, it for sure is.
You know, so, and it's kind of, at this point, I don't know if it's faded enough. Like, I don't know if we brought it back, if people would care. But it's also mm-hmm. like we did three full episodes and then like a spring episode or like fall episode, I guess. And it's kind of nice. That's like what it is.
Yeah.
And it's simple. And like, we kind of left people wanting more.
Yeah.
But that being said, if Ski the East wanted to give me like a couple grand to just throw a Corey to film and put their name on it, I would do it.
I bet they would. Yeah. I've seen them do a lot of dumber shit. Like, and I've, don't get me wrong, I'm wearing a fucking Ski the East shirt. I think they do a lot of smart shit, but I'm sure they like, I don't know.
And that's what's frustrating. I think there's a lot, but they do it. And people just keep putting out episodes until someone picks them up. And like, our whole thing was, we didn't want it to just be ski porn, because we're not the best skiers in the world. We're good skiers. We can entertain. But like, we just wanted you to watch 3 minutes of something, grab your attention in this modern era of like 12-second clips or like, that's, you lose people. If you don't get someone in the first 12 seconds, it's over.
Yeah.
And like, we wanted them to watch something and just be refreshed. Like, you know what? Like, I'm going to go do something tomorrow. Like, whether it be like, you know, what might be like someone else's Everest, or like my Everest might not be their Everest. So like, if it's just you like getting up and walking 2 miles, then do it. And like, if it's, you know, in the series, I'm always like, if it's rollerblading, like, go rollerblade.
Yeah.
Because like, if I liked rollerblading, I would do it every day.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, like, and that is rollerblading. I guess that's kind of worst case scenario. So,
but it's like, if you like doing something, do it. As long as it's not harmful to a bunch of people.
Yeah,
like, if you're a cannibal, don't eat
people. Yeah, don't eat people as much as you possibly could resist it. Like, that's really funny. I think people would be into it, man. I think, especially right now, and I get that the reboot, you might not personally want to do the reboot as much because of how hot this van life thing is. Like, because there is like that, oh, he's rebooting it because van life is hot right now. Like, that would be I'm sure something that would be in the back of your head, but you're doing it for you because you like doing it, right? So
right. I think we would love to do it. It would just be, the stars would have to align. So we always talk about doing like, just like, not making it like a web series. Let's just like do an episode.
Yeah.
Like, and if we do one in the next 5 years, like, let's do it. Let's be creative together.
Yeah.
So maybe. We'll it's just crazy. Like, he's getting married in October.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
It's just a busy season, and next will be kids, and
yeah, your life moves on too. It's
like, just crazy. So
stuff going on. We'll see. So let's talk about skiing. What do you? You're a tele skier.
I am.
You are officially the first tele skier on the podcast. So
first and only.
First and only, probably ever. So, why? What's the deal? How'd you get into tele skiing? What's how'd that start?
I mean, if you can't be good, be weird.
Yeah. All right.
That's it.
That makes sense.
That's what I've always said. I don't know. I work at this ski shop once a week in the winter called the City Garage in Ellicottville, New York. And every year we have this, we have a telemark festival called Tele Stock.
Yeah.
And it is just peace, love, and telemark skiing.
No shit.
And we have free boot rentals, free ski rentals, free demos. Everyone just brings their quivers. Like, all the locals just bring their, and it's just like, it's what skiing should be. Like, it's all free, sign a waiver, go skiing. Like, oh, you like those skis and they're someone's personal, he'll probably let you take them out and go ride.
Yeah.
So they've been doing that for like 10 years and they just cultivate this culture. And the first year I telemarked, I did it at Tele Stock, and they have like free lessons. And being at a small resort, I mean, we're 800 foot of vertical.
Yeah. What's the resort?
It's Holiday Valley.
Yeah, yeah.
I like saying them because they don't do anything for me. And
that's terrible. True. People. Yeah, sorry, forget that. I'll bleep that out.
Kissing never Bridge is cool, though. Before. Kissing Bridge is cool. No, it's Holiday Valley. They're great. It's probably one of the nicest resorts in North America, as far as like lodging goes, and like,
really?
Oh my God, like, they don't have a lodge.
I've never been, so
they don't have a lodge older than like 2002.
No shit.
They have 13 lifts. I think like 11 of them are high speed.
No shit. For 800 feet.
The resort is amazing.
Wow.
But the way they treat their season pass holders is absurd. And they don't care about perceived value. Like, just make me feel important. And I've said this to all of them, so they know. But like, I don't matter to them, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I'll ski there till I'm dead because the skiing's amazing. We get a ton of snow. The resort is amazing. Skiing, yeah. But it's those little things that like takes one good marketing guy to come in and be like, hey, well, you know, you go to Stowe on a power day and like you get a breakfast burrito and like that's stupid. But like I talk about that all the time.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Like I've been to Stowe on a power day and there was just like first 100 people at the Gandhi get a breakfast burrito. And you're like, holy cow. Like,
yeah. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff that makes people keep coming back.
Yeah, it's the little things. And I don't like trash talking Holiday Inn because the resort is amazing.
And you know what? Like as soon as one dude goes in there that really knows what's up, like your whole vibe about it's going to change.
They've been there. They get beat up by the system and they leave. Really? They get chewed up and spit out. But yeah. I love the resort. I really do. But they know how I feel about it. Just little things. Like it's just give me perceived value. Like a season pass is $1,000.
Yeah.
I can buy an Icon pass for $600.
Yeah.
Granted, it's a totally different beast. But make me feel like I got something. So when I go to the season pass party and I'm limited to one hot dog.
Give me
two hot dogs. It's so childish. Like I don't want to talk about them that long, but whatever. So they have tele stock. Yeah. Back to that. And I started tele skiing and that one day.
Yeah.
And then the next year I bought a set. And being at a small resort, it's easier to learn those things because it's like, I don't know, I'm bored of alpining 800 foot of vertical. Like I can't go in the back country and like I can't push. Like if it's a crappy day on 800 foot of vertical, like that's all you get. Yeah. So I just tallied. And then I got good at it. And then it was just like good enough to like commit instead of doing like, you know, I tallied that year and then I'd go to Vermont and I'd bring my Alpine because I wasn't ready. And then, but yeah, it's just, if you can't be good, be weird. Yeah. That's really it. And it's once you get it, it's so much less impact on your knees and back.
Really?
Yeah. Cause it goes through your toe, through your ankle, to your knee, to your hip, to your back. Versus like Alpine, it goes like through your heels to your knee to your hip to your back. So it's just one more pivot point.
Yeah.
And I hate being like, it's the greatest turn, but like it is so, once it clicks, it's like this rules. And I can still Alpine. Like if I get into like a mess, I can just lean back and make Alpine turns. Granted, they're like ugly Alpine turns because I'm not like pressuring a ski.
Yeah, yeah. You're leaning back.
But you can do everything on it. And it's just fun and it's the equipment's getting better and like it was fun to learn something at an older age. Like it went from like have you ever telemarked
once? It's like 5 years ago.
You're like a baby deer trying to walk.
Oh yeah, it's actually this, we were talking about the monoski. It's the same thing. I felt the same way the first day on the monoski. It's like, what am I doing?
Yeah, but when like if you get that monoski and you're like at Killington ripping bumps, you're like, I'm a hero.
Yeah,
I'm the greatest guy here. I'm the best guy here on the planet.
Yeah, it seems like that's it.
And that, it was totally, and Mike Paternetti is this amazing telemark skier who opened the door for, he's from Holiday Valley. He's a Holiday Valley skier. And everyone thinks telemark is like dainty and fragile and like very like, oh, leather boots and lace. And and then there's Mike Paternetti, who's just like, hard charging, ripping, hits jumps, throws backies, hits rails. And I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah, right.
And once I saw that, I was like, I got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be, telemark was cool, but I didn't want to go 3 miles. I don't want to be the last one down. I want to rip. And once I saw that could be done, it was like, all right, I'm doing this.
Yeah. So do you think telemark's going to make a comeback? Like I saw the telemark is dead hat in your car. Like it's, and everybody always jokes about it, but like, it seems like there's a little bit more of a resurgence, I guess, in the last like couple years, but I don't know. It's
the problem with telemark skiing is telemark skiers.
Yeah.
So the old guys who, you know, first you had your just leather and the 3-pin bindings, and then they came out with like 75 mil hard boot. And people, all the old leather guys were like, I'm not changing. I'm not doing it. So then they had, so the brands who were making these, you know, like a 75 mil duckbill boot had no support. And then they finally got everyone to switch because no one was making 3-pin in leather.
Yeah.
And now we have an NTN, which is called New Telemark Norm.
Yeah.
And all the duckbill guys won't switch because they're stubborn and stupid.
That's the only reason.
It's it. 100%. They're dumb. Like, they're going to buy something stupid off a used website, and their duck bill's going to crack, and they're going to cover it in electrical tape.
Yeah.
But that's not helping the sport. You know, like, Salomon can make new skis. Blizzard can make new skis because people bought their skis last year.
Yeah.
So, like, 22 Designs and Bishop Bindings are really the two guys in the Telemark game.
Yeah.
If no one's buying these new bindings, they can't get the support to keep making new products.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest fear. So, like, what they're doing is they're slowly stopping production of duckbill and 75 mil bindings, which is great because they're like, you have to switch.
Yeah.
Like, you have to.
How long has it taken them to switch, though? Like, I mean, because I feel like NTN's it should be
been
more.
Out for.
I know, but a long time.
Yeah.
So why is it taking so long to kill it? Like, because they should just kill it.
Because when NTN first came out, Rodafel came out with it, and it was rigid. It wasn't a natural turn, and it wasn't great, in my opinion.
Okay.
But now they've got it. And it's only going to get better if people keep buying them because they can make them better. Like, now 22 Designs has a touring binding with like a pin toe, which is great. Like, I'm so excited to have that because I'm going to shave 2 pounds from my feet.
Yeah.
And just being a tech dork.
Yeah.
But like, then the other Telemark guys are like, I'm not running a pin toe. And I'm like, why wouldn't you like want the greatest and latest?
Yeah, why would
technology?
Especially if your shit's worn out. I mean, I'm all for like keeping your shit till it dies, but like, you're gonna need new stuff eventually. So why? What? And that's one of the things I think the ski industry, like the alpine side of the ski industry, does pretty well is like, as soon as something's no longer gonna be a thing, they're just like, fuck all of it. I'm out. It's gone. It disappears.
Exist. Yeah.
They're like, what are you talking? What is fucking WTR? It's all grip walk now. You know, like, it's all
that boot doesn't fit. You need new boots.
Exactly. And everybody gets mad, but it's like, they just say, that's it. We're not going to take any more because it's not safe. Here's our reasons, blah, blah, blah. You know,
but they have a way larger piece of the pie. Like, Telemark's is just weird, culty people who want to be weird. So it's, and Telemark's hard. So when someone tries, people don't like to work. Like, it's hard. True. It's leg burn and it hurts and you fall a lot and people are scared of it. And it's too, like, snowboarding is horrible to learn, but once you get it, it's great.
Yeah.
But like, it was something so different that people were willing to learn it. Telemark skiing, they'll just alpine.
Yeah.
It's not making a comeback. And there's some great shops that support it and do it, and that's right where it belongs, and that's where it'll be. That being said, there's like some insane Telemark skiers out there right now, and they're putting out videos and and it's really nice to see, but I don't understand why it has to be separate.
No,
it's even like ski videos, like, why does, like, how come I can never see a snowboarder in like a ski film? Like, we're all in the same thing, doing the same thing. Like, I want to see how Travis Rice is going to do that line. I want to see how Jeremy Jones is going to do that line.
Yeah.
And then I want to see how, you know, like, Will Weston's going to do that line.
Yeah.
Like, because they're totally different creatures doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So, like, the fact that, like, we've never seen, and maybe I'm wrong, but, like, you know, Level One doesn't have a Telemark skier.
No.
Like, they don't, they're never, like, and maybe we're just not at that level, but like, I'm not at that level, but like, there's guys at Sierra Tahoe that are just throwing down, and they, you just get like, I don't know why people don't want to see it, I guess, because it's harder.
I think people want to see it to an extent, but it's also like, you're kind of playing on that line where it's not a, you know how like they had that straight ski segment in one of the Ski the East movies where they're like, everybody's hammering bumps on straight skis and stuff. And you're just like, it feels like every time there's a tele skier in anything, they're like the straight skiers on the mountain where they're like, they're just the weird fucking guys that do their things. Here's a weird segment. They're not like part of skiing.
But I think that's the problem.
I think it's wrong, but I'm saying, like,
I mean, I'll try to admit, oh, we don't get enough respect.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, it's harder. Like,
it
but
for
like,
sure is.
I went to Corinthia this year and I filmed like a park segment.
Yeah.
And it like not blew up, but like Corinthia picked it up. And I'm like, it's an O2 edit, man, at best. Like,
yeah, right.
But like, because I was on tellies, it was like cool. And I think people just need to see that. But no, you have to cultivate that culture.
Yeah.
And that's like what telly stock is. Like, everyone at telly stock, when we go and like do lessons, you know, we all ride switch. And like, no one rides switch on telly. And when you do it, people's minds are blown, but they never know you could do it.
Yeah.
So now all these people who went to Telly Stock once and saw me or Mike P ride backwards,
yeah,
you see them next year and they're all doing it because it's possible. So I think it's coming around, but it'll never come. It'll never be.
It's never going to be hot.
Big. K2's never going to make a telemark ski anymore.
They're not some weird shit. They made a mogul ski they've had it in line for fucking so long.
Moguling's still happening, man.
And it's not, it's a shitty ski, but it is what it is. But so you don't think it's going to grow even with the Alpine touring in general has grown a ton in the last few years. And that's something that 10 years ago, I didn't think was going to be huge, but
it's just too hard. Yeah. People don't want to learn. If they want to Alpine tour, they want to be able to rip these big strong lines, and unfortunately most won't take the time to learn it on a telemark.
Yeah, and it's one of those, I've always said this about snowboarding, it's I would really like to commit to learning and being I know how to snowboard, but being a really good snowboarder, but that means that's time away from being better at skiing, which I know how to do well, and I can do harder shit, and when I'm on a snowboard I feel like a baby deer.
But see, I thrive on that. I love learning and being challenged and being so frustrated that you can't do something that a 13-year-old is ripping. But I learned on a snowboard. I didn't start skiing till I was 18, 19.
Really?
I started snowboarding when I was 15. My claim to fame, all my friends will laugh, I got third place in a rail jam at Crested Butte. So that was legit. I think that was legit. It was 2000.
What made you switch?
To turning.
Yeah, being an adult,
you can turn on a snowboard when the conditions are good.
For sure, yeah.
When snowboarding in powder or just hero snow is amazing.
Yeah.
Snowboarding on ice, specifically on the East Coast, is not fun.
Yeah.
And I don't care what anyone says.
No, it's not fun.
It's not. And most people on an ice, and we have night skiing. So you go at night and you ski, it's just glacial ice. Yeah. Those people aren't snowboarding. Even my friends, some people who are amazing snowboarders, they're just pushing and hanging on to get down. Versus skiing, you can lay, two is better than one. Two edges and 2 points of contact is better.
Yeah. That's true.
So that's why. It's just a better tool for the job.
Yeah.
But that being said, I still have a snowboard. I still do it probably 8 to 10 times a year, which is that's more than lot. Most people Unless, even go out. Yeah. But I ski 130 days a year. That's so
many.
So to put in... it's hard for me to wake up and see a powder day and be I'm going to put my board on.
Yeah.
But once I do it, nothing is better than that. Nothing beats snowboarding in powder.
Yeah.
Skiing in powder is cool. Snowboarding in powder is amazing. Because it's one piece. It's fluid. That's what it's made for.
Yeah, it's surfing.
It's just unreal.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe I'll come around on it a little more this year. Every year I tell myself I'm going to go more and more and more. And then every year I'm I'm a good skier. I'm not a fucking top level skier. So every year I'm just but I could get to that. And every year I don't. I stay the same level of good that I was the year before.
Yeah, but good to you might, it does. It's all on your level.
Right.
So that's the thing. But if you're going to learn to snowboard or go, you need people who are going to do it with you.
Yeah.
You're not going to go out with all your buddies and be I'm going to learn to snowboard today. I'd see you, dude. Yeah. I just spent $85 on a lift ticket. I'm not waiting for you.
Yeah. How much uphill are you doing nowadays?
A lot.
Really?
I would never ski a resort again if I could.
Really?
Yeah. All I want to do is walk uphill, and I'm super slow and I'm fat, but I can go, but I can go forever. I'm the really? Tortoise in hair. I'm just I bury my head and I just go slow, and people are are you okay? And I'm dude, I'll meet you up there. I'm fine. Yeah. I'm 100%, but I'm just slow.
Yeah.
But that's my pace. And if I go faster, I blow apart. And I know that. I love uphill travel. I did Mount Superior this year. Super stoked. It was East Coast skiing. I love East Coast, but we don't have that.
No, that's a different thing.
And I had my buddy Chris and Mike who were great. Chris lives in Utah, so he knew his stuff. And it was dude, we're doing Superior today. I just landed at the airport. My legs are heavy. And I was all right. But you're standing at the top of this and you're thinking of every ski film you've seen. And this is real. This is a real line. And I am an adult skiing this. And then I tomahawked four turns in.
But that counts, dude. You're there. You're
doing
it.
I skied the crap out of it, man. Oh, my God. I ripped it.
Awesome.
It was great.
Yeah, it's. I like that it's growing. I like that the uphill thing is growing year after year. It seems like it's getting more and more. It makes me a little nervous, but I like that it's growing because there's more people to do it with. Like, there's more fun to be had, I think.
I just really enjoy it because, one, it kind of levels everyone out. So, like, if you go with, like, you know, I have some people who aren't great skiers but are great athletes.
Yeah.
And they love touring because, like, we're now the same. We've leveled out. I might beat them down the hill, but they'll beat me up the hill.
Yeah.
And you just have conversation. It's almost like bringing it back to, like, doing stuff with your friends. Like, what did you do all day? I did 3 ski runs, but I hung out with my friends for 8 hours today.
Yeah.
And we laughed, and we weren't just, like, jammed in a bar or doing hot laps. Like, we were literally, like, in the woods, for lack of a better term, like, being intimate and having real conversations. And, like, when people get hurt, like, you have to adapt. And there's just something about being out there.
Yeah.
And now, like, with the Rasta trails, and, like, it's just
amazing. How is that, by the way? I haven't been yet. Really? Okay.
You know, it's not necessarily for me.
Yeah.
Mostly just because it gets tracked out. And I have like an iPhone of goodies all over Vermont that I can go to. But like the fact that they're doing it and educating on it.
Yeah.
And it's so readily available. And the trails that these guys cut are amazing. Like Brandon Gap is so, if you catch it and it's not tracked out, like if you get it up early and get a powder day, it's some of the best skiing in Vermont. And like the skin track is so well thought out. It's amazing. There's nothing.
I got to reach out to those guys for sure.
There's nothing bad about it.
Really?
There really isn't. Like you can park in the parking lot overnight and just like camp and hang out. And like people show up and like people talk to each other in these parking lots because it's not a ski resort.
Yeah.
Like, and there's something to be said for that. Like you know, I pull up at Brandon Gap by myself, and next thing I know, I'm skiing with 12 people I've never met.
Yeah.
Like, do that at a ski resort.
Yeah.
It probably won't. And maybe it will, but, like, it doesn't happen.
Not super likely. So I mean, like, maybe you pick up a guy that you meet on the lift or something.
It's just amazing. And, like, people share. Like, you want some M&Ms? Or you want, like,
yeah.
You want a beer? Do you want, like, it's just, it kind of, it's just refreshing.
Yeah.
And I love uphill because I keep saying I'm old, but like you can do it. Like I can ski all day doing uphill.
Yeah.
If I go and like rip moguls for 4 hours, like
fucking
dead. I can't walk the next day. Like I had a blast, but like I'm sore.
Yeah. You can't ski touring, the next day.
Like you can, you're just walking.
And there's something to be said for those runs. Like those runs feel better.
Oh my God. Even when they suck, they're amazing.
Yeah. Because you earned it. And people say that. And you know what? Honestly, like I only started going uphill like a couple of years ago and like more seriously than ever this year. And like people would always say that. And even when I went like just and did some side country stuff, I was just like, yeah, whatever. Like, I mean, I don't get it. Like, I just want to do a bunch of laps, but you earned it. You know, it's a real thing.
Yeah. And I think it comes with age. Like it's hard to find a 20-year-old kid who's like, dude, I'm going to go walk up a bunch of hills like or mountains.
Yeah.
And like, I think your time becomes more valuable and like you just, it's like a sense of accomplishment and you feel good and you got a good sweat and you skied something epic that probably no one else did today.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's something about it that's, it's just refreshing. And you get to geek out on gear. Like, gear's so cool for uphill travel. And
there's so much awesome gear.
We've got, like, the BCA radios now. And, like, we don't even need them. But we're, like, drop, you know? But it's just, like, there's something about it. And my buddies every year go to Tux and they camp at the bottom. And they spend, like, 5 days. It's always been my kryptonite.
Really?
I've never successfully done Tux.
Really?
Never.
Huh.
I've attempted it 4 times. Just like weather windows.
Like
it's a haul from Buffalo to Tux is about 10 hours.
Yeah.
And just like, it's just nothing like catastrophic has happened. But like we went the one day, we were there for 3 days and we're like, we're going to bang it out every day.
Yeah.
And like, we just got piles upon piles of snow. So the average danger was so bad that you couldn't.
Yeah. You can't.
Like we went in, I've been in a bunch, but I've never like been to Summit. I've done the Cog Trail. I've done the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just my windows have just never, it's just it's like funny at this point. Like, because it's such like, oh, you're like you're the guy in the bus who travels and skis and never done Tux. I'm like, it's my kryptonite.
And that's the first thing that everybody asks you.
Yeah, probably. I've been there. Like, I know it really well.
Yeah.
I just like, Golf of Slides, we went to do it. The heavy danger was super high.
Yeah.
So like I've skied the trees at Golf of Slides, which most people hasn't because they're terrible and super tight. But like, it's just been my kryptonite.
Yeah. That's crazy.
But I love it because it's just funny now.
Yeah.
And I'll get there. And it's
part
fine.
Of it. And I'm sure you're going to do it. Yeah.
I just don't care. Like I tour at Holiday Valley and everyone like there's literally my friends going up the lift and I'm like under it like that guy who's the worst.
Yeah.
Like but like we don't have backcountry. Like we don't have anywhere to go. And like I'm just doing it so that when I come here I can breathe. And to be honest, I'd rather just tour than do 400 laps on 800 foot of vertical.
That's true.
So like if we get powder, like I'll get the laps in and it's tracked up and then I'll go and like do some weird like what would be considered side country there.
Yeah.
But like, I hate the word side country too.
Yeah.
If you're not in bounds, you're in the back country.
Yeah.
Side country assumes safety to me and like skiing's dangerous.
Side country though, I think what I mean by side country, and when I'm talking to people about side country stuff, it's like, it's on the resort. It's just the shit that you can't really ski, but that's still within boundaries. It's like, there's not a ton of places that actually have real side country.
That's true.
But like, there's a lot of places in Vermont that like, you're in bounds technically, but it's like a trail that you can't get to otherwise.
Right.
You know, you have to go. And I mean, honestly, you could probably boot pack it for 15 minutes and it'd be the same thing.
For sure.
You know, it's cheater touring is basically what it is.
Which is fine, too. Like, Big J, have you ever done Big J?
No.
It's you do J Peak, and then there's Big J above it. And, like, it's just a boot pack tour.
Right.
And, like, it's 15 minutes.
I did it this year.
And it's, like, it's amazing. And it's a cheater tour, but, like,
whatever.
What are we, who's cheating on what?
Like,
we're just skiing. We're just doing something we enjoy.
There's no law for it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a different thing. Yeah. And I think you're right. Your point about like the touring on the smaller mountains is true. Like I skied with Drummond at Black and like we did a lift run and we did a couple uphill runs and the uphill runs were way more fun. Like it's way better than doing laps on something that's like as tall as a house, you know, like it's just not... Yeah, it's just not that.
Yeah, we have two resorts. So we have Holiday Valley and then Hollymont, which is the largest private club in North America.
Yeah.
But they're on the same like ridge.
Yeah.
So we always do the tour and we'll take the lift up with our skins on, which is like the total like plebe move. It's just hilarious. You like skin up to the lift and get on the lift and then you get off and it's like, it's bad skin. But then you can like tour through the woods across like their snowmaking ponds.
Yeah.
And then drop in the backside of Hollymont, which we're not allowed at because it's private. And then we like get runs and we like roguely come up the woods and then come back into Holiday. But yeah, it's just like skiing's supposed to be fun. So like if you can make it fun in any way, shape, or form, and like that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I agree. Well, all right, let's do some Instagram questions because it's fucking hot as shit in here.
It is hot. I'm glad it's not just me.
Yeah, no, I'm dying. You got a bunch of questions, so I just tried to pick.
Oh, no. I have bad friends.
There's a lot of questions, and there's actually one that was like six people asked the same thing. So,
No.
It's not that. I mean, whatever. So the first question is, yes. Johnny T wants to know, what's the one thing you wish you had in the van that you don't have in the van, and one thing that you have that you wish you didn't?
Man, that's kind of a hard question. You know, I think the initial answer, one thing I wish I had, there's really nothing. It's just like,
you have what you want.
I got it so figured out now that it's everything I want. The number one answer is like people say a bathroom, but like, I'm fine. I don't
really
need a bathroom. The only thing I wish I had was another, honestly, a window in the back is when I built the van. I have two windows on my back door, but like by my head of the bed, I would put a window in. And that's like something so simple and stupid. But in the winter, they become, I always call it a depression cube because like you have all these, the windows are just single pane glass.
Yeah.
And you're heating it on the East Coast where it's freezing.
Yeah.
So like you put all these, you know, you make all these insulated curtains and put them up and it's just pitch black in there.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm sad. Like I'm by myself.
Dark and gloomy. And
like I had a great day and now I'm sad. So I think just a window would be what I have or what I would put in. And then something that I have that I wouldn't do, I wouldn't have put the swivel chair on the driver's seat. So I have both my chairs swivel. I wouldn't have done it on the driver's seat just because I would have gained some more space if I didn't have it swivel. I could have made a longer countertop.
Yeah.
The fridge I'm still indifferent on. I really like it, but it's so small that it's almost, is it worth it is the big debate.
Yeah.
You know,
could you get a bigger one in there?
I could, but like.
Then you're giving
it's
up.
Just, but it's like I run a fridge for like a pound of ham.
Yeah, right. Right.
Like I'll just have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
But that would really be it. I've got it pretty dialed. My heat is figured out. My batteries are figured out. It'd really just be some more sunlight. Like I even thought about putting like a moon or like a sun.
I've seen a lot of people doing that lately.
But they all live in California where it's just gorgeous.
Like, yeah.
When it's like
negative. Yeah, a friend of mine did one here in Western Mass. Yeah, just that's amazing. She just did it.
Yeah. Like, well, but bless her heart because she's going to freeze.
Yeah. I don't think she's not living in it full time, though. I guess that's the.
Yeah,
that's
but
the
winter's
thing.
Tough. Winter's yeah. Brutal.
Yeah.
But yeah, just more sunlight. And I think I got it pretty figured out. There's not much I would change.
Yeah. That's good.
In this build specifically.
I'm going to fuck this name up. Jay, I don't know. It's the Blizzard guy.
Yeah. Justin.
Yeah, Justin. He wants to know where he can get the best wings in Ellicottville.
Ellicottville?
Ellicottville, yeah. And there is a correct answer.
There is a correct answer. Man. I'm going to say Balloons. I think Balloons has the best wings in Ellicottville. But he might be a gin mill guy.
I don't think he's either.
He's not either?
He might be wrong, too. I mean, that's a third option.
Oh,
I don't know.
No. I take all those answers back.
What's the answer?
The answer is the Depot. It's the. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't think of that originally. Because it's the only and greatest ski bar in Ellicottville. I was just thinking the town of Ellicottville. The Depot's the best.
Yeah.
Moose, who owns the Depot... It was like an original filmer for Greg Stump.
Really?
Yeah. He's like OG, like managed Glenn Plake in like the Budweiser days and like just lived this ridiculous ski life and now owns an old train station that they turned into a pizza slash bar, pizza parlor slash bar. But like when I bought the bus, he was like, you can park that thing there. Because Ellicottville is like a very... beautiful town, but like not for vans.
Yeah, right.
And he was like, you could park that thing here every day of the year. You can plug it in. So like the first year I didn't have any heat. I would just like on the really cold nights, I would like run an extension cord through his window.
That's awesome.
And like run an electric heater and get the van to like 51.
That's fucking awesome.
So that's, yeah, it's the Depot. It's so cool, I don't know why I said that. I thought maybe he was a Jim Mel guy and Balloons is just like Balloons has these vegan wings that are really amazing. Yeah. I'm not vegan, but they're good. Yeah. So it's been
what's
on my
a vegan
brain.
Vegan wing.
I have no idea. It just looks like a French toast stick.
Okay.
Just covered in hot sauce.
Sick.
But it's super good.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Depot, hands down, is Moose and Vicky are like the greatest humans on the planet.
Yeah. When I was writing that question, I usually don't prepare the questions at all. I usually am like fucking searching every single time, but I prepared them this time. So when I was preparing it, I like wrote the answer into it and I like almost asked it as part of the question. And
yeah,
I'm
it's the Depot. That was stupid of me. Cut that out. I hate that. I hate Balloons and Gin Mill. They're too buttery. And
Corey Potter wants to know, does Sasquatch exist?
100%.
You think so?
Yeah, he's just blurry.
Yeah. What the fuck does that mean?
That's why every photo is blurry.
Yeah, he's blurry?
He is blurry himself.
Oh, I don't think that's... I don't know.
It's a fact.
What do you think Sasquatch is?
He's a Sasquatch.
What does that mean?
I mean, what's a dog? He's a dog.
It's a dog, okay.
He's a Sasquatch.
And there's only like one, you think?
No, there's three. They live in... they live in like British Columbia.
Okay.
100%.
All right, cool. All right.
Corey's the head of the Sasquatch Association of America.
No shit.
Yeah.
All right. It's good to know that you guys believe in something here.
It's 100%. He's just blurry. That's the... every photo of Sasquatch is blurry.
Yeah.
Because Sasquatch is in fact blurry. That's the problem.
I guess that makes sense.
There's no way... there are that many bad photographers.
Yeah. And you don't think they're just fake photos?
No.
No, you think they're real.
I stole that joke from Mitch Hedberg.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But no.
Just in case he's listening or somebody's like,
he's passed away.
Yeah, exactly.
So I could use it now. I stole it from him.
Yeah,
but anyone who's listening is like, that's not his joke. I know it's not my joke.
Yeah,
but Bigfoot's blurry.
Yeah.
No, he's real. He's got to be.
I believe it. I believe he's real. I don't know if
you got to believe in something.
Yeah, I think
if people who believe in, I mean, no offense to anybody, but like people believe in a god. There's way more evidence that there's Bigfoot than I got. So I'm going Bigfoot. 100%. He's real. Watch Finding Bigfoot on Netflix. It'll waste 2 hours of your life and you'll be so confused after.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
It's the worst documentary I've ever watched in my life.
Is it really?
I've probably seen it 10 times.
Oh my God.
It's so bad.
I got to check it out. I've heard of it multiple times, but I've never watched it.
It's so bad. It's amazing. You know, like you're going to sit on your phone anyway. It's not like you're going to like watch a movie.
Yeah.
When's the last time you watched a movie without your phone?
You know what? I watched.
Not in a theater.
Ah, oh, fuck. Hey, yeah, never.
Yeah, never.
In my entire life.
So put it on and watch it. And you pick up
some. You know what I watched the other day? That was crazy. And I was like, usually even in the theater, I'm like, I can get out of here and just like go check my phone and like do my thing. I watched that. What's that movie with the kids where they're like, Good Boys? Is that what it is?
I don't know. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Fucking,
is it good?
Dude, it's hilarious. It's like kids that are like living their, I don't know. Dude, I'm not doing a plug for a fucking movie right now, but
all
right.
I'll watch it.
You should check it out.
Finding Bigfoot. I'll plug that.
All right, cool. Great. I'm going to check that shit out. All right. The last question that we'll end on. We'll do, this will be the last question because four people asked it. Has anybody ever told you look like Chris Pratt?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm fatter than him.
He's pretty fat sometimes, man.
Like, all right, well, I'm fat. Chris Pratt, I'll take that, but I won't take like jacked and tan Chris Pratt.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, Chris Pratt is not a thing.
Yeah, that's
not
me.
Yeah, a lot of people were like, and one was like, not even in English. It was like, you look like Pratt, Chris, you know? And
come
I was just
on.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I made it to all cultures.
I was like, great. Awesome. Well, cool. Tell people where they can find you on social media. Plug any stuff you want to plug. I mean, feel free. This is
I'm just going to thank my sponsors. I think that's what you're supposed to do.
For sure.
Fly Low Gear's been with me for like 4 years. Lakey Poles, Life Proof, and Smith Optics. And you can find me on Instagram at Mr. Adam X. I think Facebook's still a thing. I think that's like facebook.com/Mr. Adam X. Or you can Google Adam Sauerwein if you really want, and I'll probably pop up with some episodes. You can type in the Pursuit Bus on Google. I think that's it.
Cool. All right, man. Well, thanks for coming down. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Anytime.
All right. Episode 6-9 is in the bag. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I know I did. It was a great episode. Be sure to hit up Adam on social media. Tell him what you thought of the episode. Hit him with an email, hit him with a DM, hit him with a comment. Dude's awesome. I hope we get to do it again. I'm sure we will. And look forward to maybe some Pursuit action coming soon, maybe. Or maybe not. Yeah, we'll talk to you guys next week with episode 70. I don't know who it's going to be yet, but we'll see when we get there. Thanks.